Don't worry about the kids. My guest for the next half hour is Colette Sinnott. She's the author of The Secret Talk. Its website is thesecrettalk.com. Colette, are you standing by?
I am. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me, Mark.
Tell us about the book.
Well, the book is a children's book, and it's called Should I Tell My Secret? And I entitled it that because that is where the power lies, is in the secret. A lot of people spend a lot of time talking about abuse when we should be talking about the secret. Because as a survivor, I know firsthand it's the secret that cripples us. It is the secret that kills our children. It's not the abuse itself. That's the catalyst, definitely. But it's the secret that we protect for years and years that, you know, really kills who we would have been.
So you were, in fact, subjected to sexual abuse.
I was. I was abused from the age of 7 till I was 10 by a family member. He was an older cousin, a much older cousin than I. And, you know, he was someone I was told I could trust and that I was supposed to trust. You know, so I can definitely relate. I remember being, you know, 7 years old and the second or third time that he was coming over, I tried to squish in between the toilet bowl and the wall, behind the toilet, which there isn't a lot of room.
So you knew that this wasn't supposed to be happening. You knew this wasn't a normal thing.
I didn't know it wasn't supposed to be happening because no one had talked to me about it, Mark. But I did know I didn't feel very good about it. I knew that he had told me to keep it a secret, and it just didn't feel right. As so many kids out there, at being young, they don't know what's happening to them. They just know they feel funny. It feels funny, and they don't know how to articulate it. So, you know, I tried to hide, and because I was too big to fit in the hamper or behind the toilet, I was found, and my abuser told me I wanted this to happen because I was found. And I believed him. I was 7 years old, just like any other children. I was 7 at the time. And so that's how easy it is for an abuser to coerce our children.
Colette, in writing the book and looking into the subject and creating the website, have you talked to other victims or survivors of child abuse, of child sexual predators?
Many, many. You know, it's funny because as a trade, I'm a hairstylist. So, you know, hairstylist is like a bartender, basically.
Right.
So I had the privilege of speaking with many people, and I'm very open about my past, which enables a lot of people to tell me their stories. And the common theme was that nobody talks about it. All these people that were telling me, I would say 8 out of 10 people never spoke to anyone. I was the first person they were revealing their secret. And these are people that are, you know, now well into their late 30s, early 40s, 50 years old, all carrying the secret from when they were, you know, 7 years old, 10 years old. And to me, that's where the insanity is that this secret is just killing people.
There are a lot of misconceptions and myths associated with things like this. And I want to go through a couple questions, see what your research has shown. As you indicated, your abuser was a cousin, a male cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Have you found that there's a pattern of strangers versus friends, relatives as abusers?
Well, you know, it used to be in schools they would teach the message stranger danger.
Stranger danger, right.
Stranger danger. I don't believe they actually teach that anymore because it's not stranger danger. Over 90% of abusers are family and friends.
90%. So a significant majority,
exactly.
Way more than I would have thought. Okay.
Exactly.
You're always hearing, you know, as a matter of fact, it's in the news now, although it's always in the news, whether the Boy Scouts should allow homosexual scout leaders, because God forbid those homosexuals should get in front of those young boys, because every homosexual, you know, the
exactly.
Crap.
That's insane. That's ludicrous.
What's the percentage of sexual abusers, sexual predators that are, you know, abusing opposite sex? In other words, normal sexual predators, not those wicked homosexual predators.
Well, you know what? There's not a any research that I've done. There's not a stat that indicates, you know, homosexuality is more rampant than you know a heterosexual sexual abuse case. It's just opportunity. is what it comes down to. You know, in my case, my cousin didn't have a preference. It was complete opportunity. If they, you know, and that's what it comes down to.
Were you his only victim?
No, I wasn't. There was several after me, and there were allowed to be others because people didn't step up and help me once they knew. Because they didn't have the tools. They didn't know what to do. Which is sad, because had they, he would have gotten the help he needed, and there wouldn't have been more victims.
Had he been a victim? That's the other perception, is that sexual predators are often, had been victimized when they were young.
Yes, and you know, I mean, Mark, the reality is hurt people, right? So if we don't eliminate the secret and start healing the victims earlier, or healing them at all, it's just going to keep growing. Because you don't know what to do with the anger. That's what being abused creates. It creates anger and resentment. And you want to lash out and hurt somebody else the way you're hurting inside. And so if we heal our children quicker, we can eliminate the social issues we're going to have later, such as more abusers, you know, prostitution, teen pregnancy, violent crimes, including sexual crimes. So that's why the importance of talking about the secret is really key. You know, when you were talking about the Boy Scouts and stuff, it has nothing to do with homosexuals teaching children or, you know what, even sex offenders. That's not really the issue. Like, you know, trying to limit sex offenders, you know, use of Facebook and stuff. You can put any kind of restrictions on a sex offender. The reality is they are an offender. They are going to find a way to offend. Where the power is we have to give the information to our children in order for them to be able to protect themselves. We need to start talking about it as communities and let everybody around us know, you know what, hey, we're talking about this with our children. They are informed and we're watching. Watching being the key. Watch the people around you. Don't let there be one-on-one adult interaction. If there's a coach, because, you know, that's happening a lot and it's in the news right now with Penn State, mm-hmm. There's a coach spending time alone with a child. Do not allow that interaction to happen. Being a responsible, you know, assistant coach and say, you know what, that I'm not really comfortable with that. I'm just going to stand here while you guys have your discussion. There's no reason for anybody to have one-on-one time with a child.
Are there signs that parents could look for in their children? Are there signs that you think that your parents might have missed that you were being victimized? Oh.
Definitely. You know, I think if your child goes away on an activity, just going back to the coaching thing, if they go away to a camp or to a training session and they come home and they can't tell you enthusiastically what happened while they were gone, if they're kind of withdrawn and they don't want to talk about it, that should be a red flag. Something's happened. I'm not saying that abuse has happened, but something has happened that has made that child clam up. So with being a child being withdrawn is a classic sign. A child being angry, a child being overly sexual for their age, a child not wanting to spend time with a particular person, all of a sudden, like maybe I was really good buddies with Uncle Bobby and then all of a sudden I wanted nothing to do with Uncle Bobby. That's a clear sign something is going on. Something has happened in that relationship. So investigate. In my case, you know, my cousin used to babysit me, and when my parents would leave, I would scream and yell and throw a bloody fit, and they just thought I was going through a phase and I was just being a brat, when really I knew it was going to happen as soon as that door closed. And so you have to pay attention to those signs, because a child won't tell you, you know, in words, because they've been sworn to secrecy, but we're telling you mm-hmm. in other ways. And so it just investigate. If there's any activity, any behavior that's not normal for your child, investigate it. Ask questions. Start talking about, you know, sexual abuse. Start talking about touching. Start talking about secrets. And just, you know, do it gently and kind of see what answers you get from them.
Colette, you talked to, how many victims would you say you've spoken with over the years?
Oh, my God. I would have to say over hundreds of victims, because I'm also working with a company here in Canada called Little Warriors and a company called Darkness to Light in South Carolina, talking with victims there. It's very rare that a child will come forward and tell their secret.
One of the things I've heard, and I haven't talked to as many victims, but when I have, and I've talked to predators, one of the things I've heard said is one of the reasons it doesn't get reported is because very often the victim actually, and it's part of the confusion, actually does enjoy a lot of the physical stuff that's happening, and that is confusing to them as well.
Exactly.
Did you find that as a pattern? And it didn't seem to be the case with you from what you've said, but did you find that to be true with others?
No, I think it definitely was true with me as well. I think you take a small child that knows nothing about sex or their sexuality, and you start touching them in a certain way, it feels good. I mean, that, as an adult, I know that. As a child, you're like, okay, as an adult, if somebody was, you know, raping me, it wouldn't feel good. I'm able to shut that down, right? As a child, you're not. So for me, it did feel good, and that's where you get confused, and that's how the abuser has the power over you, because they can say, well, you enjoyed it. And you're like, well, I did. I guess that means that I'm bad. I shouldn't have enjoyed it, but I did. Well, of course the touch feels good. For years, I didn't sleep because a lot of times I would pretend I was sleeping. So for years, I didn't sleep because I didn't think I deserved to sleep. And part of me was afraid something else was going to happen if I actually did go to sleep. So I think that's a fair assessment. I would, you know, any child that's being abused is going to enjoy it. And an abuser uses that against them. So it's important to talk to your child about, you know, that. And that, you know, touching your private parts and use their right name, touching your penis, touching your vagina. The minute you teach them the right names, they learn to respect their body parts and they learn to expect other people to respect them. And that's key. You know, it's not a wee-wee. You know, it's a penis. But teach them that, you know, it does feel good and it's only allowed for you to touch. Nobody else. Nobody else is supposed to make you feel good touching that. I mean, when they get older, you know, they'll learn all the other stuff.
Right.
But when they're little, they need to know that. I know a lot of people think, oh, that's too much information. And to me, that's just them saying they're afraid to talk about it themselves. And our fear as an adult talking about it is putting our child in a vulnerable position to become a victim.
Well, Claire, what age would you first share the book? Should I Tell My Secret with your child?
You know what? I would say as early as 2, start reading the book. Because the whole point of the book is to read it over and over and over again. At 2 years old, is your child going to understand the whole concept of the book? Absolutely not. What they are going to understand, I mean, my daughter is 2 right now, and she runs around going, no secrets, mommy, no secrets. And that's the whole point, is to start planting little seeds of information that will grow. And it will create red flags. I mean, now she's 2.5, so, you know, she understands more. You have to have the conversation early and often.
Okay, but if my kids were, say, 6 or 7 or 8 now,
yep.
Would you give the book to them to read? And if so, would you watch them for cues? Are there things that a parent could look for when their child is reading the book, or would you read it to them?
I would read it to them at first. It definitely, they can read it on their own. There's a game within the book to engage a child. And 6 or 7 is a perfect age as well. Because it's not, you know, if your kid is past 2, it doesn't mean it's too late. I mean, information is information at any time. But, you know, read it to them first, or just, like, let it be. My experience with it is the first time they read the book, they're more engaged in the pictures and the colors, which is great because it makes them want to read the book again. The second time they might go, you know, hey, Dad, what does this mean? And that's the opportunity for you then to, if you want, sit down and read the book and say, well, that's what this means. And it opens the door for you to give them more information that I haven't put in the book. The whole point of the book is just to start the conversation. You know, I had one lady that sent me an email, and it was about the 4th time she read the book to her daughter. I believe her daughter was 6. And her daughter leaned in and just said, Mommy, I have a secret. Well, of course, that woman's heart sank.
Right. You're anticipating my next question.
Exactly. And, I mean, I still have goosebumps. And, you know, my husband came home, and I'm crying, and he's like, what's wrong? And I said, you know, as hard as it was to hear, I knew my book was doing what it was supposed to do. It gave, and it ended up that little girl was being abused, and it was by her babysitter. But the book gave that little girl the courage to tell her mom. And, you know, the book gave them a dialogue, you know, that, you know, got her mom saying, you know, it's okay not to keep a secret, and nobody should ask you to keep a secret, and I'm going to love you no matter what. I'm here to protect you. You know, and it gave that little girl the courage. So in her case, it didn't stop the abuse, but it stopped the abuse from continuing for another few years. Because as you know, if you've talked to victims, it's not a one-time thing. It's years and years of abuse. And that's where the damage comes in. So, you know, the point of the book is to stop the abuse or shorten the duration.
Okay, so you're a parent, and you've just heard that terrible sentence.
Yes.
Wow, I'm actually getting a little choked up. But you just heard that terrible sentence.
Yes.
What do you do? What do you say? What do you do about the perpetrator?
The first thing, don't even worry about the perp. That's not your concern at this point. The only concern you should have as a parent, a teacher, whoever you are that this child has come to, is that child standing in front of you. Because it takes a lot of courage for a child to say those words. So the first thing you have to do is not overreact. I tell people, take a deep breath and get grounded. Because if you overreact, and, you know, a lot of males will do this, and, you know, it's just reaction. Oh, my God, I'm going to kill them. Mm-mm-mm-mm. And that scares the child right away, because they're like, right. Oh, my God, daddy's mad, right? So don't do that. Just be calm, as hard as it is, because whatever you do is going to determine what they tell you next. You need to tell the child that you believe them. Don't assume that they know. They need to hear the words, I believe you. You need to tell the child, excuse me, you need to thank the child for telling you and tell them that they're brave, because they're thinking that they're really bad at this point. So you need to build them up. You need to keep the child talking, and that means asking open-ended questions like, well, and then what? And then what happened? Don't ask leading questions, because if this does go to court, that's going to cause them problems. And then you need to find, and then you need to call your local authorities, victim services, your child protection services, and ask them for resources in your area, which is therapists that have dealt with that, departments that have dealt with this particular situation, and let them deal with the perp. If it's somebody in your home, so let's say you find out it's your wife that's doing it, you need to remove your children out of the house in a safe way and just put them somewhere, your mom's house, a friend's house, until you've spoken to the authorities and you have more guidance on what to do at that point. But the main thing is that child. Like I said, don't worry about the perp at that point. Worry about the child in front of you. Tell them that you're there to protect them and you're going to do your best. They need to know that they're safe is the big thing.
What's the, I can't think of a better phrase, the sweet spot of ages for children who become victims? Is it 7 to 10? Is it, are there kids who are 12 or 13 when they first become victims?
There are children that are that, but you know what? The reported average age is 9 years old. 20% of victims are under 8. Now, those are pretty general. I mean, if you hear stories of children that are sexually abused at 6 months old, which is completely sickening, but there is that. So the average age is 9.
So we're about to hit the clock. When we come back from commercial, I'm going to want to ask a little bit more about the perpetrator and what happens and how we protect not only ourselves but the community from them. Or are they victims of their own illness and need our help? You're listening to On the Mark Radio, KSEO Santa Cruz.
My words, but
back to On the Mark Radio. I'm Mark Silverman, your host. My guest is Colette Sinnott, and we're talking about her book, Should I Tell My Secret? Her website is thesecrettalk.com. Colette, you talked about, of course, nurturing the child when they've told you they have a secret and making sure you tend to them first. But it's unlikely that one predator only has one victim. So at some point, rather quickly, don't you have to let the authorities know just to protect other children out there who are probably being victimized by this same animal?
You definitely do, and that's why once you know your child is safe and you've tended to them emotionally, then you do call your local police, your local victim services, your children's advocacy associations, and they will take it from there. They'll tell you the steps to take from there, because definitely it needs to be put out there. You know, there's all the sex offender list that, you know, communities can get, and those are all great, but people need to remember it's 90% of abusers are family and friends. So chances of it happening in your neighborhood from a stranger, it does happen, but it's going to be slim. It's going to be somebody that's going to groom your children, somebody that has access to your children. So as parents, we need to be more responsible, diligent, and, you know, have our eyes open a little bit more. Eliminate adult, one-to-one adult-child communication. You know, don't let your child go over to Bob's house next door just because you think he's a great man. He very well may be, but you don't know what happens behind closed doors. Don't put your child in that situation. Make sure there's many children with him. Eliminate that opportunity.
Colette, when we look at some of the sex offender lists and some of the stories, you know, how many of the people who have to register it are, you know, the 17-year-old boy or 18-year-old boy who was dating a 15-year-old girl and the parents just, you know, decided to press charges or something like that. And yes, that's wrong. But you know what? I don't think anyone on the planet would look at a dating thing that got out of hand and compare it to a 35-year-old man doing things to an 8-year-old girl.
Exactly. And I completely agree with you, and I'm on board with that. It is wrong, and I don't condone that, but those aren't the predators that a parent should be worried about, unless it's your daughter, right? That was the 17-year-old daughter on that date. That's a whole other conversation.
that's different. Do you have any idea what percentage of people on those lists are in each group, or is that not something that made it into your research?
No, that didn't make it into my research, Mark. But I can tell you the ones that you should be worried about, are chances are pretty good they're not on that list. They're the people that you're worried about are people that it goes from generation to generation, right? Hurt people hurt people. So most abusers have been abused, and they haven't gotten the help that they need. That's why they're doing what they're doing. Again, I'm not condoning it.
What happened with your cousin after the fact?
You know what? I think he got a slap on the hand. If you read my bio on the website, it goes through, I couldn't give specific dates and times, and you tell me what 12-year-old kid could. I was 7 when it started. I could tell you the carpet I was lying on. I could tell you what my mom was wearing on the date when she went out. I could tell you it was on the TV, what wallpaper we had. That's what a child remembers. So because at that time, the law was, you don't have enough specific evidence. Even though I could tell them specifically what he did to me, he wasn't convicted. It's sad.
Colette, there's some sort of interference on the phone line right now that I think we can't really hear you.
Okay, so. Are we still good? Are we good?
Well, you know what? It cleared up. Let's run with it. Go ahead, finish up then. Let's give it a shot.
Sure. I forgot my train of thought now. So
you were saying that you couldn't really adequately testify to enough facts about your cousin?
Exactly, enough facts. And sadly enough, that's what happens in a lot of the cases. But the whole thing is just, you know, from my standpoint, isn't even so much about getting my cousin or other cousins in jail. It's about getting the child that has been victimized help, so that they don't become, you know, victimizers themselves in any way. Because it's not just sexually that they become victimizers. They become bullies. You know, that's happening a lot. Because, again, they're so angry. So it's about healing the children. But
I got to ask, and I feel bad asking this with, like, a minute left. Do you carry any burden? Because there were victims after you, and there was a period of time that they were probably simultaneous, and there was probably a period of time before you went public. So do you carry any guilt that you allowed others to become victims?
Absolutely, I do. And it wasn't until years of counseling that I finally got, you know what, it wasn't my responsibility. At that point, it was my parents' responsibility, the other adults around. Worst fear I had, I was driving home one time, and I heard that he'd gotten divorced. And I had to pull my car over, and I sobbed like I was 7 years old all over again, because he has two little girls. And I sobbed because I could bet my life that he abused those little girls, and I felt it was my fault. If I somehow would have stopped him, it wouldn't have happened to them. But at the end of the day, it's the adult's responsibility, not a child.
Colette, thank you so much for joining us on The Mark Radio. You've been a tremendous guest. The book is Should I Tell My Secret? The website, thesecrettalk.com. You'll see more about it on my website and on facebook.com. Go to On The Mark Radio. There.